Our lesson this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the biblical attitude of employees in the workplace. In view of reports of great needs and problems in various churches, much of which has been produced by church leaders themselves, we view the pastoral epistles, handbooks on local pastoral ministry. One of the great needs in today's churches is to establish a godly attitude toward employment and employers. For we as a nation have shifted away from viewing labor as an honorable pursuit, even to the point of demanding that employers grant more and more benefits to workers as if this were the employer's obligation. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 and 2 provides a very different view of employment, one we do well to heed. I would like to start off this morning with a word of prayer before we get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've granted us to be exposed to your Word. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who clarifies the truth of the Word of God to us so that we can understand it, use it, and then who equips us actually to live that Word. Father, we ask for wisdom today to understand the text, and then to rely on the Spirit of God to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at the passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brothers, but rather do them service, or double service, because they are faithful and beloved, and partake of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, slavery has been outlawed in many nations today, in a general sense. The relationship between, though, a master and a slave in the institution of slavery does apply to the relationship of an employer and his employee today. The employer doesn't have quite the control of the employee that they did under the old Roman Empire, like the master did over the slave in the old Roman Empire. But the relationships are very similar. The employer is using the employee for his benefit, and he's seeing to it that the employee is getting paid. Now, in the old Roman Empire, when there was a slave and a slave master, the master was responsible for the livelihood of the slave, his clothes, and often they would provide a marital partner and so forth, and they would take care of the family and children on top of that. So there are similarities between the master and slave in slavery and the employer and employee in today's business realm. So what Paul taught about the right attitudes of slaves to their masters as applied, or the attitude of employees to their employers, presents a contrasting view as to what occurs in today's world. Paul directed that believer employees give complete respect to their unsaved employers in verse 1. We know that he's talking about unsaved employers in verse 1 because in verse 2 he contrasts what he said in verse 1 with speaking to saved employers or saved masters. So those who are employees in a business realm are responsible before the Lord to think or consider or regard, that is the Greek word hegeomai, their own employers as deserving, or haxios, of all honor. Now, the verb rendered think, consider, regard is in the present imperative tense. The actual form is hegeithsosan, meaning the employee should always be regarding his employer as being worthy of all honor in the role of being the employer. This should be a regular routine. Now, Paul's reason for this admonition is that the employee is obliged before God to do his part in not giving room for the unsaved employer to revile. The King James translates it as blaspheme. It's actually from the Greek word blasphemeo, but it means to revile the name of God or Christian teachings. that the testimony of biblical Christianity be supported. In other words, there's a greater goal in mind than just earning money as an employee when it comes to working in the job. You have a testimony as a Christian. It's going to be found out sooner or later that you are a Christian. So what you do has tremendous impact on the testimony that you're leaving. And remember, that testimony before an unsaved employer is extremely important, because that unsaved employer, his soul is on the line, his eternal welfare. So you're earning, or we as employees are earning money to sustain this temporal life, but the employer's eternal life is at stake. So we really need to protect the testimony of our Christian faith. Accordingly, the unsaved employer may not be essentially honorable in his personal life or even in his actions as the employer or business owner. But regardless of that fact, the Christian employee has a higher calling than just his function as an employee, that of being a testimony of his faith by his workmanship and especially by his attitude towards his employer as his employer. Years ago, I heard about a situation where an employee was complaining that his employer was persecuting him for his faith. Come to find out, what was happening is that the employee was taking up company time to hand out tracts and to witness instead of doing his work. And when the feedback came from the unsaved employer says, "I have no problem with this man having his beliefs. But when he's punched in and he's working on the clock, I want him to use his time not expressing his beliefs, but doing the work for which I'm hiring him. Otherwise, I'm operating at a loss." So it's extremely important that we remember that we're leaving a testimony, and that testimony takes precedence over everything else, actually, in the entire function on the job. Now, incidentally, Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12, promises a divine reward for functioning well in one's workmanship in a job. So the believer actually works for God as his supreme employer above the current human employer, further requiring the believer to treat his earthly unsaved employer with respect in his employer role. Let me read those verses. Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12, David is writing here. He says, "God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God." In my studies in Hebrew, that power can also mean buying power. And that's what I believe it means in this context. Then it goes on, verse 12, "Also unto you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render or you pay back to every man according to his work or workmanship." God sees to it that we get the money or the benefits and the job and so forth based upon our workmanship from his perspective, irregardless of our unsaved employer who's over us. God is watching over even that. So we don't have to worry about fairness and so forth in the workplace. If we are doing the job that God wants us to do, he will see to it that we are paid properly. Now, the pay may actually not come from that job. It may be that there's a job opening that's going to occur, and the experience that we're getting in the current job is going to have paid tremendous dividends in the next job. The next job for which we qualify, if this job is appearing, is going to enable us to earn much, much more money than what we're making now. And God knows that. But he will reimburse us. Now, after talking about unsaved employers, Paul directed employees who are believers to give enhanced service to believing employers. That's verse 2. "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather to do them service," or double service, "because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." So having mentioned the arrangement of where believers work for unsaved employers in verse 1, Paul shifted his focus to address believers who were working for saved employers. Now, Paul directed believing employees not to look down on or despise or scorn or treat with contempt. The Greek word is kataphroneo. Employers who were fellow believers in Christ. not to take advantage of the fact that because they were believers and were thus obliged by God to treat their employees respectfully, you can check Ephesians 6:9 on that one, so as to lessen their respect or service to the believing employer. Now, this is a problem in the workplace. I've heard of more than one situation where believers will take advantage of other believers, where they won't do it of unsaved people because they know that the believer is supposed to treat them well. So they'll take advantage of that and cheat on either the employee or the employer. And Paul puts a stop to that right away. Instead, employees must, to a greater degree, the Greek word is malon, perform the duties of a slave or serve or obey. You take the Greek noun doulos, which means slave, and you put it into a verb douluo. So it means to perform the duties of a slave or serve or obey. In other words, God wants us to do double duty, to work, shall we say, twice as hard for the saved employer and for their believing employers. And Paul clarified that the reasons for this extra work are twofold. First, one must realize that his employer is a beloved brother who deserves such extra work. See, this is a person you're going to spend eternity with in heaven. He's a believer. He knows the Lord. He's a brother in Christ. And if he's hiring you, he's going out on a limb. He's paying you. He's taking care of your needs so that you can do a job. The least you can do is work hard for him and really make it beneficial for his benefit. And second, his beloved brother, as an overseer, materially benefits from the employee's extra effort on the job. You know, if we really love our fellow brother in Christ, and this brother happens to be an employer, doing double duty and working twice as hard, so to speak, or it actually works in his favor, because what it does, it enables him to make more of a profit and cut his losses and so forth. We really need to be aware of the fact that this is not just a business relationship. When we're dealing with another believer, this is a Christian relationship. A Christian relationship that supersedes even the business itself. So I ought to stop and say, what am I doing to help my fellow brother in Christ, who happens to be my employer, to help him materially by making sure that I do a good job? That means that when there's nothing else to do, you pick up a broom and start sweeping, or think of something, take the trash out, fix the coffee machine, whatever is needed to do, wipe the windows, clean up the restroom in the company quarters, whatever we can do to go the extra mile to help this brother in Christ. So believers in Christ who are employees in the workplace need to protect the testimony of the Christian faith by always regarding their unsaved employers with respect. But God rewards, and they must work even harder for believing employers, since they are beloved brothers, and they are blessed as brothers by such extra work effort. So may we believing employees in the workplace always respect our unsaved employers, and may we work extra hard for believing employers as beloved brethren who materially benefit the more from our extra effort. Whenever I speak about employers and employees, I'm reminded of the days that I worked in the truck docks in Dallas while I was going to Dallas Theological Seminary. We'd get up early in the morning and had to get at work. We have to punch in. I think it was by 4 o'clock, and between 4 and 7, we had to work. And, of course, since we were part-time, we were paid half as much as the full-time workers were paid. But what was difficult was that when it came to getting the freight out, they had train cars that would move up, and then we had to unload the train cars and sort the stocks and so forth. So we would do that, and often we were the ones that were having to haul the freight, where the guys that were being paid full-time got to sit and just check off the stuff on the invoice. And that was hard because we were working twice to three times as hard and get paid half of what they were being paid. But we were part-time. But we had to do that. And then in the summertime in Dallas, it gets very humid and hot. In fact, I remember sometimes going to work in the morning at 4 o'clock and it was 70 degrees already. And go from there up to 100. And you'd have to haul on those freight cars, pull out of the freight cars into the trucks. And it was really hard work. But the Lord taught me some tremendous lessons there. Show respect to the employer. Show respect to the other employees, because most of these other people did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The employer didn't. A lot of the employees didn't. In fact, they lived very godless lives. So I came to realize that I was on the line. They knew I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary. So, in fact, my nickname was Rev. They kept calling me Rev. So I had to watch every move I made, and it was difficult. But it was tremendous training so that I could turn around and tell others, we've got a bigger job than just earning money as employees. Our bigger job is being a witness for Jesus Christ to people around us in the workplace. Sometimes it's employers, sometimes it's fellow employees who don't know Christ, who are in desperate straits spiritually because currently they're on their way to hell unless they believe in Christ. And they desperately need us to minister as a testimony before them in how we work that goes far beyond the amount of money that we're making. We need to be very careful because in the workplace, we are on call for God.